Let me start over. This is for Greg Fitchell, and this is Barry Simpson. So some quotes from your story that just resonated with me. You said I was my mom's, my brother was my dad's, and the good side of that is you kind of found a place, but the bad side is they still kind of haunt you. You talked about that.
Yeah.
There's still a sense of loss there, and even though you got out and ran and did things, those just don't go away. So you try to take care of them as a dad yourself, but those are hard. Then you talked about going to Promise Keepers, and suddenly you felt inadequate again because you were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
You said being divorced took away my facade, and I thought it's almost like you saw that as a failure, but it gave you authenticity. I was suddenly, okay, well, there's no sense trying to pose anymore. I might as well just be this. Okay, you don't want to think of that as a gift, like mm-hmm. that path, but God redeems those things, and it seems like that process helped kind of be more authentic. You talked about, you said your wife can't find forgiveness, and then you said, I think I can do everything. Okay, so I'm guilty of the same feeling, and I know the attack on that is, oh yeah, I was supposed to ask God about this, or I forget to ask other people's advice, or in fact, one friend told me once, he said, you just bring God in out of convenience sometimes, you know, and so that is a risk, because we get in, I'm saying we, but I mean you get into your charts and your thing about the future, and okay, done. And we don't leave room, but that's a mighty gift that God's given you. So you don't want to just quit doing that.
Right.
But that's part of the struggle, I think, is okay. How do I find God in this? Where's God speaking to me in this? God speak to me through this graph. Half the room laughs, the other half leans in when you say that. But I don't know what you mean. So you said, then you had that little picture of pinned down in a foxhole. You kind of paint this picture of surviving at home, but barely, and this won't last forever. But it's hard to know when the end is. But the other side of that is, you didn't run away. There's plenty of men that have done that. You know, say, oh, this is not what I thought we were going to be. You know, we adopted, we were being really gracious, and I wasn't planning on this. And either guys literally run away or they check out, and you haven't done either of those. You've stayed in the foxhole and you've stayed in the battle, because you know there's a purpose in it. I mentioned this yesterday. I like that you like cities, because John Eldridge likes to go to the mountains. Then it becomes the manly thing to do. You know, and you go to boot camp or something, and everybody's trying to outmanly each other. And I was like, man, I'm glad he wasn't into kickboxing or something. You know, because then we'd all be, oh, I got to do that. And so, but life is so different. We're all so different in how God speaks to us. And man, I like that. That's not me. But there's certain things I like about cities. But I'm not that. But you know, God just gave that love to you. And so how does that show up? You know, how does it show up in ministry? How does it show up? You know, I don't know. But I think I hang on to that. I've got a friend who's a jazz saxophone player, and he's gone hiking with me once because he felt like he needed to check that box and spend some time. That's not where his love is. And we've gotten to be friends playing jazz together. And when you hear him talk about God, it all comes through his experience with jazz music. So just forget all the guys who want to go hiking. Just relish in that and go show them the buildings. I love that you use the iPad for bringing together data. You know, I noticed that, and I'm watching you because partly I want to learn how to use that skill, but for when you describe your work day and all your graphs, it sounds very square cornered, your life, but that's not, and you're bringing things all in, and so that's the artist side of you. You know, you said you like to draw, bring things together visually. I like the combination of the cities of color, because you were drawn to the two with color, but not necessarily, not this one.
No.
You know, there's no. Yeah. See, that's just a bunch of. Who cares if that's structured? That's just a bunch of white buildings. So you need more than that. You need the beauty, and you need the. That's important to you. And in fact, that one over there was kind of dark. You know, he said, so you're not so sure about that one. So that's the other side of where God is. It just comes out in you. Perseverance. I mean, you talk about perseverance. So hanging out in the foxhole is a huge perseverance. But you're also a distance runner. Okay, I don't. You know, now you're a distance runner in the concept of track, You know, I don't know if you ran further than a mile.
Cross country.
Yeah, okay, cross country. So now you're out on up and down stuff, and you're doing, what, 6 mile races and something like that. And you just don't do those kind of things because they're not sprinter and you're running and all the girls are standing there. No, you're running off and it's a different sport, I know. Mm-hmm. And it requires different things from you. But both of those show up in raising your family and in distance running. And very good artistry, very good at communicating complex. I can see why you've been such a value to your boss for so many years. Because he hears some just giant problem and you go, oh, okay, done. I can see that. And if I were the manager, I'm keeping you as close as possible because I need somebody helping with that and help make decisions. You're very good at that. And it makes sense to me, your words, because that's exactly what I heard when you talked about your life. When you got to the movies and books, I love what you say. You can see this move in your life from hero movies to thoughtful movies. I get weepier as I get older. I cry through more movies than I ever used to. You know, we get softer. That's a good thing because people get harder, you know. And so you said not only that, but you've gone from hard theology books to, as you called them, cuddly books. Well, these aren't the most cuddly books here, but I know what you mean. You know, books that bring you in close to relationship as opposed to data. And that's a good move. That's a good, not only is it a good move as you're getting older, but to see that about yourself and not be afraid of it. Going forward, you know, I don't know what, you know, you're really, you know, a lot of transition and trying to figure out what to do next. And I look at your skill set and I think, you know, there are nonprofits and ministries who die on the vine because they have all heart and no structure. They have all compassion to give themselves away and nobody knows how to handle the money they collect and spend it on the real things that matter. And I've just seen that a lot from my government days, and there's a real need out there. And from a government standpoint, whenever you saw a nonprofit or somebody, they had a heart for it, and they had a structure to make it work, boom, we're giving them everything. Because it's so rare, and they really change lives. And so that may be, maybe that's something you've already thought about, or maybe something to think about. Maybe there's, you could lend, you know, if you end up looking for what you're going to do, and you do some life coaching or whatever, maybe you can lend some time, so many hours a week to somebody, just helping them plan out. All my nonprofits need that. And all ministries need that because they just usually don't have that. It's not what draws people to those ministries, but they need people like you. So that's something to think about. And I think maybe ask God about it. Maybe there's something going forward there.
Okay. This is for Greg Fitchell from Randy Luce. So the words that stuck out to me were visualize and synthesize, and behind those words is process. So your mind is very organized about how you process information, and you know you've got this. Your challenge is to do that, and you like to see things in a picture. But how do you paint a picture that others are going to be able to see what you see? Movies and books. You know, what I see in all of that is just transition and maturation, you know, process again. You know, there's a spiritual process going on in your life, and I think you're recognizing that you know you're a different person than you were 20 years ago, and I appreciate that, the fact that you're aware of it and you're kind of watching it and trying to figure it out. The timeline was interesting to me. You know, some things I identified about approval, you know, what Barry talked about as far as your mom and your dad and the relationship you had. You know, I spent a large part of my life trying to get my dad's approval, and you know, things have changed, but things have changed in your life, but that's still something that's, you know, back there, this idea of a chameleon, you know, of trying to be something to get something. you know, just trying to blend in and get approval by being what they think they need. But the interesting part of that for you is that becomes a process, again, of analyzing, you know, the circumstances and trying to figure out who somebody is, which feeds to your strengths. But then you've got to look at what your motive is. You know, the recognition of growth and maturity, again. And I think what you're seeing, too, is that God can bring, you know, based on some of the things you're reading and some of the comments you made about it, the idea that God can bring rest and order to the chaos. You know, family time, especially teenagers, is very chaotic. And I feel like God was wanting me to tell you to continue to trust Him and be present, you know, and that's what you talked about, pursuing that, trying to figure out how to be present, and there's rest in that. The cynical and sarcastic part of you, you know, I think was a defense mechanism, but it appears from what your way you've described, you know, your transitions in life, it seems like that's been decreasing. You know, the fears you talked about, almost like self-focus was a fear, but to me that's very, very important, because it's how you figure out who you are and what God's given you to work with, and at the same time understand who God is, you know, and put those two things together. You know, you've made the comment in a fearful way about comfort doesn't lead to life. You know, we all go through struggles. We all hope to learn from those struggles and not repeat the same struggles again. But, you know, I think what you're seeking and what God will provide for you is rest in the midst of that. You love your routines, you know, because it brings freedom to you to have routines, because then you can go outward, reach out for it, and explore more. And the comment I wrote down is that it brings confidence, but not dependence. I'll let you think about that.
That's a good one.
Your glory, your artistry is just pursuing truth and understanding in a way others can understand. You know, it's painting that picture, ending up with a picture that, you know, you're not presenting a picture to them because it's in words, but in your mind it's a picture. And, you know, bringing the color in that city there, as opposed to the fading light picture, brilliant colors to a picture so that people see what you see, is your artistry. And your brilliance is your ability to synthesize and get all the information together. And the effect of all that is just clarity. And people are hungry for clarity. They're desperate for it. But what's interesting about that is some of that, sometimes that requires a lot of work, and that work is natural to you. I mean, there are times when it's going to seem like work, like, you know, you have to wrestle with something, but you like that process, and you feed off that process. It brings life to you. The assault, you know, I think the assault in your life is common, similar to what a lot of us deal with, the busyness is most obvious, and again, that's a stage especially prominent with teenagers. And I think if I were gonna, you know, I'd pray that you find more time alone with your wife. And you mentioned that that's easier now because the kids, you know, aren't dependent on you. And I just encourage that to keep keep focusing on that, and to keep growing in your understanding of yourself and God, which, you know, from the books and the movies that you like and the things you're pursuing, that appears to be obvious. And I'd pray that God would bring more clarification to your whole life. That God's been involved all along. And that you'd learn how to trust God's timing. You know, and not sense the pressure so much over your kids. To pray for them. And to learn how to encourage them and just like them. Find out what they're good at. Help them to understand what they're good at and help them to feel good about themselves because of what they're good at. You know, one of the struggles that I think all three of us have, it comes from our words, and I go back to Strength Finders, has one called input. And the struggle for people that just want to assemble information and gather it is what they do with it. And I think you're one of your real strengths and talents is that you figured out how to process that input. I gather all this stuff around me and oftentimes don't know what to do with it all after I've gathered it all. You know, how do I store it or organize it so I can use it at some point? But that's a real skill and a talent that God's given you to be able to take that input and turn it into something meaningful.
So this is Barry. I just thought of something I forgot. This is about Greg Fitchell. So I love the fact that you drew the picture. I noticed that when you in your timeline or you had the picture of the armor of the vest, the armor plating, and when you showed that to me, it just really caught me off guard because I thought, that's real. Okay, that's a whole. That was my first glimpse at the artist side of you, you know. And then you said a while ago that you've always loved doing that. And I just like that. And not all data crunchers and number and structure people are good at art, but already I've noticed it with the buildings and the other things, but drawing. So I don't know what you do about that. Have you taken classes or have you?
Yeah, I thought about that.
You know,
I mean, I just, part of the reason I like this is because I like to just doodle. It's kind of, in a sense, like, just for fun, since we got a minute.
Yeah.
Like, see if I can find this really quick, this big mess of pile. But like, this is my life right now, right?
Right.
It's a diagram, but there's it's a diagram. But then there's an art aspect.
But graphs are just pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, data people know that.
They're
just pictorial ways to tell the story.
No, I thought about taking a class. I thought about when I was a little kid. Well, I wanted to be a graphic artist, but that got lost somewhere and so graphic artist is interesting. It's not artist. It's graphic artist and. So when I do the charts and graphs and draw the picture, it feels artistic to me. That's why I like doing it.
And David McCullough, you know, is a great historian and writer. And somebody asked him, you know, how do I get to be a better writer? And he says, take drawing classes. Because it makes you, and that's not what you think that he's going to tell you, but he says it makes you more observant, you know, to details and connections and all that. And so, I don't know, whether you end up doing anything with drawing or not, it would feed into it.
I just like to do it. It's like therapy.
I just want to talk about that because I remember noticing that, and it was a cool aspect of your personality and your gift that I want to talk about. Anything else?
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to mention is a book recommendation. If you haven't read it, is Holding On Loosely.
Mm.
And he's been interviewed by Gary.
From Israel.
Pablo Giacobelli.
Oh, yeah. I think I have that book. Because he gave that book away for free at one point.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have that book.
Yeah.
So for me, what it did is the whole idea of allowing God to be who he is in your life. And Pablo's story is just a very compelling story about how he learned that.
That's good.
That's it.
Okay, great.